We wanted to talk about the draft coastal plan that the regional council is doing at the moment. I know this evening and here in the town hall, there's going to be some of the staff coming over. I understand wanting to meet with people to see what they think about should be happening with that. And I know that there's been a bit of a to do on our local Facebook here in Whangaroa about exactly the implications for landowners. So. That's why we've brought you along, Pamela, to have a chat about that. But perhaps just to start with, just to kind of paint the picture, first of all, can you just tell us what is the draft? What is the coastal plan? Because there already is a coastal plan. So specifically, what does it relate to?
Right. So the coastal plan is really about setting out sort of the rules and regulations under which we operate within the coastal marine area. So that's that main high water springs point out to 12 nautical miles. We do have one in place already. This is really a review of that plan and then updating it to bring it in line with our community's current wishes in that area, as well as updates on legislation. At this point, this is a draft plan. It has not been notified at this point, but we're really just seeking further input and feedback from our communities to make sure that it's hitting the right spot.
Yeah, yeah. So it's talking about environmental protection, I presume, where you can fish and that sort of thing.
It's really setting out those rules under which, if somebody was going to undertake a new activity, it sort of outlines what are the rules of engagement, if you will. What can you do where, and under what conditions would you need to apply for a resource consent?
Okay. And how does that compare with things? Because there's also legislation like the foreshore and seabed legislation, and there's a thing called the Queen's Chain, which is around some parts of our coast. How does it relate to all of that?
So those are different aspects of legislation. The coastal plan, like I say, is more mapping out what sorts of activities can be undertaken in certain areas and under which conditions one might need to apply for a resource consent to engage in a new activity. And if one was going to do that, what are the conditions that might surround that?
So in terms of activities, I guess we can talk about there's fishing. I guess bottom trawling might be a thing. Does it talk about that? Does it talk about people here are concerned about deep sea oil? I guess it's not deep sea, is it? So that doesn't only 12 nautical miles.
Just for the 12 nautical miles.
I
think that there are a number of different chapters within the coastal plan, and they address a variety of different things. So really, if you want to get into the nitty-gritty of the content, the best place to do that is to go to our website. We've got the draft coastal plan up there, so
yep.
People can see what's in there. They can see what are the different aspects of it. And provide appropriate feedback. Now, like I say, this isn't publicly notified yet.
Yep.
We're aiming to have that notified by the middle of the year. And it's really at that stage where any member of public can provide feedback. So anywhere across the country, you don't just have to be here in the Waikato to put in a submission
okay.
on the plan once it gets notified. And really, that's the point at which people can provide that really specific feedback on what they feel works or doesn't work.
Okay, so I'm just trying to think of the issues that I know that are kind of prominent here in Raglan and Whangaroa, and I guess does it speak to things like sand mining or aquaculture, or even something like if you want to put a jetty off our land? Does it cover all of those things?
It talks about, like, for instance, with aquaculture, that is one of the changes in this proposed plan. It's,
yep.
it's identifying what areas that is deemed appropriate, and we recognize the value that aquaculture can provide to our regional economy, but also it's about identifying where are the appropriate places for that to take place.
Okay, all right. And as you said, we're reasonably early in the process. I think, have the staff drafted a plan internally at this point?
Oh, absolutely, yes. And like I say, that draft plan is on the website. We've actually been working on this review for about 5 years now. There have been a number of I suppose, phases of engagement, so phases of community engagement. There's been four, in fact. And so over the last 5 years, there have been various activities, whether those were web-based feedback opportunities,
yeah.
email campaigns, social media, drop-in days in various communities. And as a result of seeking input from our communities over those last 5 years, it's led us to this point, which is having that draft up on the website. Like I say, not publicly notified yet, but really in its final stages prior to that public notification.
So is the full draft, is the text of the full draft available on the website?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
It is.
Okay. All right. Presumably after you've had these feedback sessions, because you've got a couple more as well, you'll be making some alterations to it. Would that be right?
Well, really what we're seeking feedback on right now is with regard to the mapping of the areas of significant Indigenous biodiversity.
Yep.
And I believe that was something that was referred to on some of the Facebook commentary.
Yes. Well, should we get to that?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. So we had, as part of this coastal plan review, we have an obligation to map out areas of significant Indigenous biodiversity so that those can be protected. And so part of where we're at right now is we've sent out a number of letters, I think it's around 400 letters, to landowners, individuals, companies, trusts that own land in the identified coastal marine area that may feature important biodiversity or rare or threatened ecosystems. So we've sent out maps to those landowners to show where our current science and layers of mapping have indicated there may be areas of significant biodiversity that cross over between their land and the coastal marine area. And so we've sent those maps out to landowners just so, I suppose it's a bit of a sense check. It's a bit of an opportunity for us to ensure that these maps are accurate and to provide landowners an opportunity to feedback if they think that there may be an inaccuracy. Right?
So the thing that I've spotted, which, and it might be the thing that's kind of creating the tension, is that some of the legal, what appears to be the legal boundaries of some properties actually go all the way into the water. And presumably some of that's because the coast has changed, or maybe they were kind of calculated incorrectly, 100 years ago when they were made.
Exactly. Yeah. And we do know that our coastal environments can be quite dynamic in
certain places. Certainly out in the west.
And yeah, that is something that we're cognizant of. And so just wanting to do that sense check with property owners, make sure that our maps are as accurate as possible, and to provide an opportunity for feedback. So of the 400 or so letters that we've sent out, I believe we've had feedback from around 20 landowners at this time, and just questioning I suppose some of those boundaries, things like that. So our team has been able to look into those more specifically. So that drop-in session tonight is a further opportunity for people to come and have any questions they have answered, provide that level of specific feedback. And so that we can reflect that in the plan as we move forward towards notification.
So I think seeing that those legal boundaries cross into the water, like it feels like that's wrong, like it should, that somehow that shouldn't be how it is, but that is how it is. Just because you have a legal, and this is probably not your area, but just because someone has a boundary that goes into the water doesn't necessarily mean, does it, that they can do the same things in the water that they do on their land?
No, it doesn't. And I suppose that's the part of the rules that get set out in a coastal plan is if you do have land that extends into an area that is designated as having significant Indigenous biodiversity, then it's not necessarily, just to understand that it doesn't change any ownership aspect of that land, and it doesn't change what is currently being done on that land, assuming that what's being done on that land is lawful and in accordance with our current plans, right?
Yeah.
It just identifies where those biodiversity values are present, and if in future, say a landowner or a private landowner wants to propose a new activity on that land, if it has been identified as having significant biodiversity values, then that would be taken into consideration as part of that consenting process.
So it's just like, for people who haven't seen these maps, they mostly, you see them, there's a little hatched area where the legal boundary crosses into the protection zone, and they're not very large. And the only thing I can think of that someone might want to put in those locations is something like a jetty, which I presume there's restrictions on anyway. So how would that change?
I couldn't speak to the specific situation because obviously there are unique aspects of every proposal, and so you really need to look at them individually. But I wouldn't say that you're looking at significant change to what we in the community are really calling for, which is a recognition that whenever we undertake activities in our coastal marine area, that it has the potential to impact on biodiversity that is really important to all of us in terms of maintaining a thriving flora and fauna in Aotearoa. And so really it's just about drawing attention to areas where we may need to focus further on how we can mitigate any negative impact on the indigenous biodiversity that's really important to all of us.
Okay, so let's be really clear about it then. So regional council is not trying to take those bits of land, and in fact probably legally can't do that anyway, I imagine.
No. There is no transfer of ownership happening here at all. This is just about identifying those areas where there may be that indigenous biodiversity that we want to protect, and ensuring that the rules are in place that allow that to happen.
Okay, so there will be, I guess we can say there will be additional restrictions on what people can do on those bits of their land, and while we're not being very specific here, I guess they all relate to protecting the biodiversity.
Yeah. And again, I can't speak to any specific individual case because each of them will be unique. And so if people do have concerns about any of the information they've received, whether that's in terms of its accuracy or the potential impact that it may have, I really do encourage them to reach out to our staff and have those conversations, just so that landowners have that sense of comfort that they have a clear understanding of what's being proposed and what it might mean for them.
I guess they'll know as individuals what they think they might like to do, although I suppose there could be future things as well. It's just hard, like I always like to deal in concrete realities. I understand, right? You're saying you can't predict what people are going to do, and that's why I'm kind of guessing, like I'm looking at it going, well, you could put a jetty there. I don't know what else you would do. And so we might say no jetty there because you'll damage the biodiversity.
Or it could be a matter of, as part of the resource consenting process for that jetty, it's about taking into account any impact that it may have on the indigenous biodiversity in that area,
yeah,
and ensuring that we provide for appropriate mitigation.
Okay. And who? Oh, yeah. And actually, someone's just asked me a question. Who actually decides what is the areas that need protection? Is that your staff that have done that?
That's been developed through a variety of inputs, whether that was with community directly or liaising with NIWA mapping, the various information that we have on file here in at Regional Council, and just taking into account additional sciences that gets developed and taking that all into account when we're mapping out these areas.
So if someone wanted to challenge that, they might have to get their own science their own report to say, actually, there's not much life here worth protecting, for argument's sake.
I couldn't get into the technicalities of those individual challenges. Not really sure exactly how one would go about that, but if one is concerned about that, my advice would be to reach out to staff. Now is the time to do that.
Yeah.
And whether that's through our website, we've got an email, healthyenvironments@waikatoregion.govt.nz. That's a great place to register any questions or queries, and our team will get back to you as soon as possible. And as you mentioned, there is that drop-in session tonight at the town hall, and a great place to have those conversations one-on-one and get that insight that you need to feel as comfortable as you can about what's being proposed.
I think there's also a Zoom meeting, isn't there, if you can't make it to the town hall?
I believe there is. We've had a series of drop-in sessions as well as online meetings. I know that we had an online meeting on Tuesday. I'm not sure what they have coming up.
That might have been the one I'm thinking of, because it was something I looked at a week or two ago, so I just saw that there was one. Okay. But people, like you say, people can still ring or email council about their concerns. There was just a couple of other things. I kind of talked past our time I wanted to go to, but this always happens. just wanted to mention there's a Tangata Whenua chapter. What can you just briefly say what that's about, what the purpose is?
Sure. Well, there is a Tangata Whenua chapter in our existing coastal plan. We have to weave throughout the coastal plan that the views of Tangata Whenua, iwi and hapu across our region.
Yep.
Here at Waikato Regional Council, we include that as a specific chapter. Other councils might weave it in across the document, but we like to really zero in with a chapter that specifically addresses iwi and hapu concerns across the region. So really that's just about reflecting treaty settlements that may have impacted on the coastal plan and ensuring that we're addressing any issues that Tangata Whenua, iwi, and hapu partners might have with regard to utilization of the coastal marine area.
So you've been talking to them already at this point?
On a number of occasions, and specifically we've gone out right at this time again to seek further feedback specifically on the Tangata Whenua chapter itself, but also the broader plan, just to make sure that there is that level of comfort with where we're headed prior to notification.
Okay. And a very regular specific question, is there potential here for people concerned about Maui dolphins and other endangered species to get some additional protection in?
Well, so the identification of these indigenous biodiversity areas in this plan is really what gives those additional protections to a range of endangered species, including the Maui dolphin across our coast. Yeah. And I suppose that specifically there are new policies and rules in this proposed plan to ensure that noise from any new activities is managed in a more specific way, and that includes impact on marine animals. So that's a change that I think is helping to address some of those concerns that people have.
Okay, all right. Well, look, Pamela, I actually wanted to talk to you about the council's updated strategic direction, which I know is something you've been doing, but maybe we'll do that another time.
Absolutely. It would be my pleasure.
Yeah, so thank you for your chat this morning. We'll just remind people, I've got here 6 o'clock in the town hall.
I believe it's 5. I had 5:30.
Okay.
5 p.m. to 6 p.m.
5 p.m. to 6 p.m.
5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m.
Okay. All right, 5:30 to 6:30. Okay, and some staff will be out here, and people can come say hello, I guess, is what we're saying.
Yes, and I'll be out there tonight as well.
Okay.
So I'm happy to talk.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks for your time this morning, Pamela.
My pleasure.
All right, folks, yes, that was Pamela's story there. She is the Regional Council Chairperson, and as you might have picked up during that discussion, there was a bit of a to-do on Facebook about people concerned that Regional Council was coming for their land, basically, if I could summarise. And I hadn't seen enough information. I couldn't really work it out myself exactly what was going on there, but it is what I suspected, which is these areas of legal property boundaries that go into the water, crossing over the protection areas that, where they're trying to protect Indigenous biodiversity. And a bit of tension there. A bit of a weird one. I didn't know property boundaries could go into the water, but they just seem to. And 5:30, she said, Craig. Craig's name is 5 or 5:30. I've got 5:30. I'm going to go and check the Regional Council's website as well. And we will put that information out in written form too if you want to share it with someone along with the podcast. That'll all be happening later on this morning. Yep, that's happening. What I'm going to do now, I'm going to have a little break, and I'm hoping to talk to Oren, who'll be in the studio in a sec, because we're pivoting once again back to music, live and local, on Friday night at the Old School Arts Centre.